Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Satan uses demons to influence and indwell people, leaving behind a trail of destructive choices and actions. The victims of these actions are then left with pasts that are hard to deal with. Today, how God can turn victims into victors. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we conclude Pastor Lutzer's three-part series on Let God Redeem Your Story. Now, Pastor Lutzer comes to wrap up part three.
You know, a little drop of Satan's rebellion has fallen on all of our hearts, hasn't it? And so there are people, you know, who will just continue to plunge toward evil. You can warn them. You can tell them the consequences. It means nothing. They just keep doing it over and over again because they are compelled to do evil. Well, the good news is Jesus does deliver such people, but we need to continue on in the story. So the demons say to him, Jesus was saying, come out of the man. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. Legion means 10,000 or more. And he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he, that is still the man speaking, but the lead spirit has his vocal cords, he begged him earnestly to not send them out of the country. Don't send us out of the area. I think that the spirits said we prefer to just stay here among the tombs and among this desolate area here because we want to choose a place that we are familiar with. Don't send us out of the country. And then it says, verse 11, now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us into the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out, entered into the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. The demonic spirits prefer a warm body, a living body. And Jesus actually gives them permission to go into the swine, and the swine all drown because they become angry and mad. They are demon-possessed. You say, well, what happened to the demons afterwards? Well, after the swine drowned and the bodies were dead, then they went looking elsewhere to get some new orders, undoubtedly from Satan himself, to figure out what their next tactic is going to be. You say, Pastor Lutzer, this is so bizarre. Do you really believe this? Yes, I believe it because it's in God's word. But you know, it may even happen today, bizarre though it is. 20 years ago, a woman here at the Moody Church told me an interesting story. Her father was deeply into the occult. He was a truly evil man. Basically had given himself to Satan, and they had lived in the house, and then he was taken to the hospital. After he died, she came home from the hospital, and her cat absolutely was berserk. The cat was trying to climb up the curtains. The cat was foaming at the mouth. They had to put the cat out. Maybe Jesus gave permission for one of those demons to actually enter into an animal, as he did back here. So the story is then that Jesus Christ gives them permission. And how does the man end? Well, I'm going to be saying more about that in just a few moments, but he ends with dignity. We have to read this. The herdsmen fled, verse 14, and told in the city and in the country. They told what happened. And the people came to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They didn't know what in the world to do with this. He was healed, clothed in his right mind. And then they asked Jesus to leave because, obviously, they lost a lot of pigs. And furthermore, there was a great deal of confusion as to how a man could have that kind of power to heal a man who was that demented. In a few moments here at the Moody Church, I'm going to be giving an invitation, and during the next few moments, I want you to be thinking about whether or not you should come forward. I'll explain it in detail so that there are no surprises. But I want you to be thinking about whether or not you need special prayer today. And so as I begin to close in on how this applies to us, you be thinking about that and asking the Lord, is this something that I should do? Do I desire special prayer today because of what I'm going through? Think about that. Let me give you some very important lessons that grow out of this interesting story. First of all, I want you to grasp once and for all the absolute total authority of Jesus. The absolute total authority of Jesus. Never question it. Notice that Jesus was able to do what the chains couldn't do. The text says that they bound him with chains to subdue him, but it didn't work. But Jesus comes along and the man ends being clothed in his right mind. Jesus has awesome, infinite power. Jesus is Lord. I marvel at the fact, can you think about this? The demons even need the permission of Jesus to enter into pigs. They can't wiggle unless Jesus said, okay, I'll give you permission to wiggle. Wiggle now, but don't wiggle then. That's the kind of authority that Jesus has over the demons. Never doubt it. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that he disarmed all principalities and all powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Listen, Satan wants you to be scared of him. Truth is, he is scared of you, and he is scared of God, and he's scared of your relationship with God. He's scared out of his wits, but he wants us to be the fearful ones. He has been conquered. Jesus is Lord. I just absolutely love this. 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. It's time for God to wind up history, and we'll be talking about that history. And it's time for Satan to be bound in the pit for 1,000 years. And this is what the text says. It says, and an angel came out of heaven with the key to the bottomless pit, and he bound Satan and threw him into the pit and closed off the pit for 1,000 years. An angel. You mean this wasn't Michael? You mean it wasn't Gabriel? You mean it was just an angel? Just a random, ordinary angel. But God had said to that angel, angel, whatever his name was, I think God's probably named all the angels. If he names the stars, I think he probably named the angels too. But he says to him, go bind Satan under my command and under my authority. Go bind him now and throw him into the bottomless pit. And one angel under the command of God commands Satan to enter into the pit. And whimpering, he has to do it. Don't you love that? That's how much authority Jesus Christ has. You see, it's possible in spiritual warfare to fall into two errors. One is to discount the devil, i.e., he can't be involved in anything. Truth is, he's involved in an awful lot of things. He's involved in our deceptions. He's involved in our sins. To varying degrees, doesn't mean that we are inhabited. It simply means that he's there to tempt us. Truth is, he's involved in a lot of things, but we can discount all that. But then on the other side, we can make him so strong that we think to ourselves, there's no way that we are going to win this. Oh, my friend, Jesus has a way for you to win this. He really does. The authority of Jesus. So that's what we're doing today. When I ask you to come forward in a few moments, we don't have any counselors here. We only have prayer partners who want to listen to your story and encourage you with their prayers and to point you to Jesus, because we don't know the answer, but we're convinced that Jesus does. Second, the cleansing of Jesus. So what's going on here in the text? Here's a man who is cutting himself with stones. Here's a man who feels that sense of unworthiness. God doesn't love me. Nobody else loves me. There's no hope for me. I'm bound here by these evil spirits, and I'm going to die this way. How does Jesus get people out of a pit like that? The answer, of course, is that Jesus Christ's death on the cross, his shed blood, is the answer to your sense of self-condemnation and your overwhelming feeling of guilt and sin. Revelation chapter 12, it says that there was war in heaven and God threw Satan to the earth. I think that that happens during the middle of the Great Tribulation period. There's evidence that that's the time that it happens. You say, well, does Satan have access to God today? Yes, I think so, just like he did in the book of Job. And after he's thrown to the earth, we hear the words out of heaven, the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down to the earth. The one who accuses believers day and night before the throne of God. Do you realize, my friend, that a secret sin on earth is an open scandal in heaven? Do you realize that? You sin and Satan's there saying, okay, God, look at what he's done. He's a Christian, right? Look at what he's done. Are you telling me that you can continue to love this person and not impugn your justice? And by the way, don't you think that this has stretched your grace more than it ought to be stretched? Look at what that believer is doing. So 24/7, and we are feeding him ammunition, and he is standing before the throne, and he's even saying things about us that are true, and he's accusing us 24/7, and he accuses us 24/7, not just with words, but with feelings. So the question is, how do you handle it? The text says they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. So what does the blood of the Lamb have to do with the victory? The blood of the Lamb has an awful lot to do with the victory, my friend. Because you see, Satan comes to us and says, judge him, judge him, judge him, condemn him, condemn him. And Jesus is there before the throne, reminding the Father, who really doesn't need to be reminded, they've already been judged. Their forgiveness has already been secured. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's he that condemns? Ah, it's Christ that died, yea, rather that is raised again and is even now on the right hand of the throne of God, who makes intercession for us. This morning we sang these lovely words. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin. They overcame him by the word of the testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Now there's something else I have to share with you, and that is the restoration of Jesus. And this leads me back into the text. Notice how this story ends. Yes, the man is clothed and in his right mind, and Jesus gets into the boat to go to the other side. By the way, Jesus did that because he actually came for this man. He came across the sea because he knew that man was there. You know, Jesus comes to you too. You may be here today and not realizing it, but Jesus is approaching you right now. He's coming for you to deliver you. But notice it says that Jesus gets into the boat and goes, verse 19. Well, let's begin at verse 17. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region, and he, Jesus, was getting into the boat. The man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He's saying, Jesus, let me come with you, let me come with you, let me come with you. But Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Jesus said, I have an assignment for you. The Decapolis are the 10 cities which were in the Transjordan area. And he's beginning to go on to tell everybody about his deliverance. You know, when Jesus begins to bring you into freedom, you stop asking the question, why? If you just stay there asking the question, why, you will always be stuck on why did this happen to me? But when Jesus begins to bring deliverance, what happens is he has another question now, and it is the question, what? What can I do with my past so that God can redeem it completely? And how can God use me to bless the lives of others? That's an important question for you to ask. Because obviously God intends for this to bless you and to make something out of what otherwise is a huge tragedy. And this man understood that. And I can see him going from being a victim to being a victor and saying to himself, I cannot stay in my past. I can find out how God is going to use me in my future. And God loves to restore. He loves to use people. He loves to redeem their histories and their stories. And God can do that too. And he can use you in ways, despite your past, he can use you in ways that you never dreamed possible. Now you may say, well, Pastor Lutzer, why is it that some stories are never redeemed? I don't have all the answers to that question. But I know that there are some Christians whose story is not redeemed, and I think I can speak to that. It's because they keep giving Satan authority in their lives. He doesn't have authority, but people are handing it to them. And the way we hand it to him is by retaining a love for sin and hanging on to our sins and saying, I will not give these up. And that enables Satan to continue to do his business. Oh, of course, even after we confess our sins, we're still attacked. We as elders today prayed for a couple that seemed to be under attack, just in every way. But we are not thereby defeated, because we know what to believe, and we go on believing with endurance, and we resist him. You see, there are many people, I'm convinced, who don't want God to redeem their story. What they want is vengeance. That's what they really want. Vengeance against those who hurt them, vengeance against their mates, against their parents, against all the people who have done them in. And they want vengeance. Listen, if you want vengeance, you've closed off your life to God redeeming your story. You'll simply be stuck in your past. But if you are willing to say, God, redeem my story in whatever way you wish to redeem it, and use me in whatever way you wish to use me for your glory, I think then the grace of God begins to move in and begins to bring a sense of cleansing and hopefulness and usefulness to God. And so I have to ask you today, are you willing to let God really redeem your story? Well, I'm not talking about being inhabited by demons, though that's not beyond the realm of possibility either. I'm talking about those deep-seated feelings that you have lived with that do not honor God, that deny that he loves you, that deny that you are forgiven, that deny that you are God's precious child, all of those things intended by the devil to cut us off from God's love, to make us think that God hates us, he doesn't love us. And when you believe those lies, you're stuck in your past. Here's the way we're going to do it. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to stand here, like I did a couple of weeks ago, right at the end here of this aisle. If God has talked to you, I want you to come, and then we're going to gather in a room again. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction about rebuking Satan from the book of James. And then what we're going to do is to have you pray on your own, and then before you leave, you pray with a prayer partner. The prayer partners won't come forward until I ask them to, except members of the pastoral staff and Mary, if you'd be here just guiding the people, because I don't know whether or not anyone will come. So we don't know whether we need the prayer partners or not. This is all in God's hands. But if you do, we want someone to pray with you before you leave today and to give you hope. And as I say, they are not counselors. They are only prayer partners convinced that if they can help you get to Jesus in prayer, you'll be helped on your journey. Oh, maybe not totally delivered, but the path will have been laid out for you. We don't know much about these things, but we do believe in Jesus, and we think that he really does help people. Father, I pray that you might, during these moments, help all of us to know how we should respond. And grant your grace to us, Lord. I have no idea what people are bringing to this service today. I have no idea what the people who are listening on the internet have going on in their lives. But Jesus, you know us thoroughly, and we only ask that you'll make us obedient to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, my friend, today I want to let you know that when the invitation was given here at the Moody Church, dozens of people responded. And we spent a good deal of time, I and other members of the pastoral staff and prayer partners, praying with people who are struggling with issues that relate to abuse. What you have heard is the last of three messages that I preached here at the Moody Church entitled, Let God Redeem Your Story. Because I always believe that despite your past, God is there willing to bring some healing and some hope and some help. Oh, you might always have the scars, but scars mean that healing has taken place. And God may use your pain, your situation, to bless others. Well, as I have been emphasizing, I hope that you take advantage of these messages. I hope that you, as you think about your friends and others whom you know about, will listen to them, and I trust that they will bring healing to your soul. So in a moment, I'm going to be answering a question that was sent to us by one of our listeners, but also you're going to be receiving information as to how this series, this short series of messages, can be yours. Thanks again for your love, your support, your prayers. God bless you. Hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win, where we intend to see God's grace extended to everyone.
So on one hand, he was a very caring, loving person. You know, it was just, I still to this day have struggled with a sex offender and why do they do it?
I was 13 when the abuse first started, and he abused me several times a week for several years all over this country.
I struggled, fought, cried, prayed, and meditated my way back to me. I felt like I left my body because I thought I was going to die.
I think the major effects of being abused sexually, I think that when you're growing up, you're taught to love. And when you're taught to love somebody and hate somebody at the same time, there's nothing so confusing.
There are so few men who've been abused who are getting help. It means there's so much more suffering than there needs to be.
You know, you're only as neurotic as your darkest secrets. And if there's a dark part of you where the Holy Spirit of God has never been allowed to enter, I know that he indwells you as a Christian, but you have said to yourself, there's a dark part of me and I don't want to have to deal with it. I'm saying it's time to shed light on that dark part because light brings healing.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer wants you to let God redeem your story.
I pray for your wholeness. I pray that captives shall be set free.
Let God redeem your story. Three life-changing messages that might transform someone you know. They'll be sent to you on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer, all one word, .com. Next time on Running to Win, a series on seven secret snares, ways the devil uses to trip up believers in life's race. We'll begin with a message called Welcome to the War. Plan to join us. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.